please help us tonight. I pray that you would meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would quiet our spirits. Father, help my mind to be clear. Help me. I ask that you would please bless the next few moments as we look at this subject, as we study your word. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Mark chapter number 12. And Mark 12, you know, the book of Mark is the shortest gospel, and it's a really fast-moving gospel. You know, you'll find verses or words like straightway and immediately. And when we get to Mark 12, Jesus is kind of in the middle of a heated debate. It's actually one of the last debates that he has with the Pharisees, and they're just asking him questions, and they are trying to trip him up. If you look at verse 10. Notice, we'll go back to verse 10, but actually look at verse number 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. Now, when the Pharisees and the Herodians came to him, they did not come asking questions because they wanted to learn the Bible. They came, notice what it says at the end of verse 13, to catch him in his words. They were trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to ask him questions and quiz him and trying to get him to say the wrong thing so that they could have a reason to accuse him. And throughout this chapter and throughout the Bible, you will find that Jesus is often rebuking them, because they will come and ask him a question about the Bible, but the problem is their questions are dumb questions. And I know today we live in a society that doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and you know, you grow up in school, or you grow up watching Sesame Street, and they tell you there's no such thing as a dumb question. But according to Jesus, there are some dumb questions, and there are some questions that just don't need to be asked. And these guys are bringing Jesus' question, and here's where he's frustrated. They're asking the wrong question, and they don't. If they just would have read the Bible, they would realize not only that they're asking a wrong question, but that they're asking a dumb question. And here Jesus is just rebuking them time and again. And again, notice verse 10. Mark chapter 12 and verse 10. He says, notice what he says. And you can almost sense the frustration of Christ. He says, verse 10, "And have ye not read the scripture?" And he quotes, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." And tonight, we're talking about Bible reading and the importance of reading your Bible. And you need to understand, there is a purpose for personal Bible reading. Every Christian ought to be reading their Bible every day. And I'll show you that from the Bible. But one of the reasons that you ought to have a habit of reading your Bible every day is because we ought to read the Bible for Bible knowledge. The Bible says in the book of Hosea that we are destroyed, that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, for a lack of just not knowing the Bible, not knowing the Scripture. And here, Jesus is frustrated. He says, "Have you not read the Scripture?" He said, if you would have read this, you would know what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 24, Mark chapter 12 there. In verse 24, he says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err?" The word "err" means you're in error. He says you are wrong. He said, "Do you not therefore err?" Why? "Because ye know not the Scriptures." And you say, "Well, what's the big deal about not knowing the Scriptures? What's the big deal about not knowing the Bible?" Jesus says it perfectly in this verse. He says, "Do you not therefore err? Because you know not the Scriptures." And here's the problem with not knowing the Scriptures. If you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the Bible and you don't know what the Bible says, you don't have the power of God. Notice what he says. Neither the power of God. He says, look, if you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God, because the power of God is in the Scriptures. You got to understand, the power that, you know, that we have through the Holy Ghost to preach the Bible, to preach the Word. You know, you come to Verity Baptist Church and maybe you'll hear me preach a sermon and you'll say, "Wow, that was a powerful sermon." That is only a powerful sermon, not because of the eloquence of the speaker, but because of the power of God's Word. When we're out soul winning, when we're out knocking on doors, you know, we ought to take seriously the fact that it is our job to deliver God's Word. It is our job to explain God's Word. It is our job to give people God's Word. We need to explain it, but you need to understand this. The power is not in my words. The power is not in my illustration. It's not in my, you know, illustration or whatever I use. It's not in my description. It's not in the way I explain it. The power is connected to the Word of God. And he says, Jesus answering, he says, look at verse 24 again. "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, and because ye know not the Scriptures, you don't know," he says, "neither the power of God." Look at verse 26. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Notice, he says, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Notice verse 27, the last phrase. Ye therefore do greatly err. See, these people's problem is that they just did not know the Bible. And today, there are people who I believe are saved individuals. They are Christians. They are on their way to heaven. They'll give you a clear testimony of their salvation. But you ask them about doctrine. You ask them about what the Bible says. You ask them about the type of church they should go to, or the type of Bible they should read, or the type of preaching they should be listening to, or what the Bible says. And they don't know. They just don't know. They are confused. They've heard this preacher, and they've heard that preacher, and they've watched this televangelist, and they've been on this blog, and they've read this book, and they've read everything except the one thing that has power on earth, which is the Word of God. Amen. And throughout the Bible, you find Jesus just frustrated that people just don't know the Bible. Go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke, you're there in Mark. The very next book is Luke. Luke chapter number 6. Look at verse number 2. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 2. You say, Pastor Jimenez, why should we read the Bible? We should read the Bible for knowledge. Sometimes people say, you know, I read the Bible and I read the Bible till I get a nice, warm, you know, fuzzy feeling, until it makes me feel good. And look, from time to time I read the Bible and it makes me feel good too. And the praise the Lord for it. But you need to understand this. You do not read the Bible to get a nice feeling. You read the Bible to learn the Bible, for knowledge, for understanding. Are you there in Luke chapter 6? Look at verse number 2. Luke chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering said, Have ye not read? So much as this, what David did when himself was in hunger, and they which were with him. See, Jesus is constantly telling these guys, you know, these questions that you have, they would be answered if you just read the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Look at verse number 2. Matthew chapter number 12. Verse number 2. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 2. Notice it says, But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, verse 3, Have ye not read what David did? Look at verse 4. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. And look at verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? See, Jesus God is saying, if you just read the Bible, if you just read God's Word, if you just read what the Bible said, you would understand what the Bible teaches. Go to Matthew chapter number 19. Look at verse 3. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3. Matthew 19:3. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? A lot of people ask that question today. And a lot of people don't know what the Bible says. A lot of people think, oh yeah, God's okay with divorce. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that which made them at the beginning, made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. A whole lot of Christians would do good to just read that right there. A whole lot of answers and discussions and quarrels about whether or not we're able to do something in this dispensation or not would be answered if people just got back to the Word of God.
Right. That's right.
Go to Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 28. Matthew 22, verse 28. Matthew 22, verse 8 says, Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answering said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. See, Jesus is constantly just rebuking these guys. Go to 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, towards the end of your New Testament. After the book of Hebrews, after the book of James, you got 1 Peter, then you got 2 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter number 3. You need to understand that God wants you to know the Bible. God wants you to understand Scripture. And you can understand it. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God, you can understand the Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 18. The Bible says, But grow in grace. Now notice this. And in the knowledge. God wants you to grow in knowledge. God wants you to grow in the understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You don't have to turn here. Actually, go to Ephesians chapter 4. And while you turn there, let me read a couple verses for you. We're familiar with these. But do you remember the church in Berea and the brethren? Acts 17, verse 10, 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And the Bible says, search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you got to understand, you say, well, why would I read the Bible? You would read the Bible because God wants you to know Scripture. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 14. Ephesians 4:14 says, that we henceforth be no more children. Now remember that, because we're going to come back to that thought. He says, I don't want you to be a child. He said that ye henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about. Now notice this. With every wind of doctrine. You need to understand that there are people out there that say they're religious, that say they're coming from a church, that have a Bible, but they're going to preach false doctrine. They're going to teach Bible doctrine. They're going to call it Bible doctrine, but it's not what the Bible says. And God expects you to grow up and be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now notice what he says, Ephesians 4:14. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. These guys are good. I'm here to tell you, the televangelist is good. Joel Osteen is good. Joyce Myers, she's not good, but people think she's good. You know, I don't know why people think she's good. But you watch these preachers on TV, and they're good. I mean, they're slick. I mean, they look good. You listen to them, and you're like, wow! Preacher doesn't sound like that. Yeah, that's why I'm not on TV. If I was like that, I'd be on TV too. And I wouldn't be here on Sunday night. But look, he says it's the sleight of man. It's cunning craftiness. Whereby, don't miss this, they lie and wait to deceive. There are people out there who will come in the name of God and do not have your best interest in mind. And your job is to be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Towards the end of the New Testament there. 1 John, if you are in Ephesians, just get to 1 John. It's right before Jude. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John chapter 4. It's right before Jude. That's an easier way to say it. Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1. Notice what he says. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Look, God is telling you, don't believe every spirit that comes your way. But try. The word try means to test. He says, try the spirits whether they are of God. Every time you hear something preached, don't just accept it as fact. Don't just accept it as doctrine. Don't just accept it as gospel. Try the spirits. Now look, you should not have a critical attitude. You should not come to church with just a bad attitude. I'm not going to believe anything. That's the Bible says about the Bereans that they were they had the readiness of mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They wanted to receive it. They wanted to learn it. They were ready, but they also believed it. They accepted it, and then they verified it. Then they went home and read it for themselves. Then they went home and studied for themselves. And here in 1 John 4, 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. You say, why would I do that? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You've got to understand that there are preachers out there who are more interested in money. They are more interested in building an empire. They are more interested in building a kingdom. They are more interested in getting you to put money in the offering plate and making you feel good to do it than they are in teaching you God's word. And your job is to study and show thyself approved unto God. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter, you're there in 1 John. Right before 1 John, you got 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 15. You say, why should you have personal Bible reading? You should have personal Bible reading for Bible knowledge. You should have personal Bible reading so that you do not get deceived by false prophets. You should have personal Bible reading so you can teach others also. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give. Look what it says. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There are many of you, and I don't know this for sure, but I just know because I know human beings. I'm sure there are many of you that the excuse you give, you say, you know, Pastor, I'd like to go soul winning. I'd like to be part of the soul winning marathon. That was a nice sermon this morning, and I'm into it. But my only fear is that I'm afraid that someone's going to ask me a question, and I'm not going to have the answer. Well, you know what? Shame on you. You ought to read the Bible. You ought to know Scripture. Now, look, none of us know everything. I don't know everything. We're all learning. The Bible is so deep. There's so much in Scripture. But you ought to get to the place where if you don't know the answer, you say, well, I'm going to find it.
Right.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to understand it. It's your job to have an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. You don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Then why would you read the Bible? Why would I study Scripture? For knowledge, so you're not deceived, so you can pass it on to someone else, so you can teach others also. Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. I said number 1, there is a purpose for Bible reading. There is a purpose for personal Bible reading. There is a reason why you should read the Bible every day. And the purpose is so you can increase the knowledge. The purpose is so you don't get deceived. The purpose is so that you're able to teach others also. So men can teach their wives. So men and women can teach their children. So you can go get somebody saved and disciple them and teach them the Word of God. You ought to know the Bible. But number 2, I'd like to talk to you about the practice a personal Bible reading. In Matthew chapter number 4, we get a picture of the Word of God. And the Bible is often illustrated as multiple different things in Scripture. But let me give you one of those pictures in the Bible. In Matthew chapter number 4, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, that's Satan, he said, he's coming to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now notice how Jesus answers the tempter. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus just got tempted with a physical desire. In this case, he's been eating, he's been fasting for 40 days, and Satan knows that. He says, well, if you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. And Jesus explains to him, and he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, and he says, look, man shall not live by bread alone. And Jesus equates bread to the Word of God. And often the Bible is pictured, the Word of God is pictured as bread. In fact, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, let me show you where Jesus is kind of getting this concept from. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And the picture of the Bible is that of bread. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, if you look at verse number 3, and we're going to be kind of going back and forth from Deuteronomy and Exodus. So if you got a bookmark or a bulletin or a ribbon, stick it in Deuteronomy there so you can keep your place there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, I want you to see the story. It says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Do you remember the story of the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness? And, you know, they were complaining, they were hungry, and God sent manna, which was bread, heavenly bread. He said, he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So here in this passage, God, even in the Old Testament, was teaching them, when that bread came down, he said, the picture was that you're not to live by bread alone, but you are to live by the Word of God. Now you got to understand this. This is a picture of Bible reading because bread is a picture of the Word of God. Now in Exodus, go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And look at verse number 14. Did you keep your finger there in Deuteronomy or something there? Exodus chapter 16. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter number 16. Jesus and God both explain that this manna coming down from heaven was to picture the Word of God, and in many ways it's to picture Bible reading. And it's interesting as you see what happened in this story. Exodus chapter 16. Look at verse number 14. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14. The Bible says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They are hungry. They are complaining. God sends them bread from heaven. Deuteronomy tells us that this is a picture of the Word of God. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you got to understand this. In the same way that this manna came from God, it came from heaven, it was heavenly food. In the same way, this Bible is a heavenly book, and it is nourishment for your spiritual body. You got to understand, the Bible is not a book like any other book. Today, people will complain about the Word of God, and they'll say there's contradictions, and they'll say that there's errors. And then you say, you know, I'm out soul winning, and people will say to me, well, there's errors in your Bible. And this is what I always do. I'll say, show me one.
Well, I don't know if I can really read.
You know, sometimes they'll bring out like an NIV. I'll be like, well, hold on a second. I can show you contradictions in that thing. Show me one in the King James Bible. And they're like, well, I don't know. If, you know, let me go on my website that I was reading. And you got to understand, this book, and by the way, that's why our Bible has to be perfect, because it's from heaven. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It's the Word of God that came from heaven. It is God, and by the way, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So just like the manna came from heaven to feed and nourish the children of Israel, this book was delivered from heaven and was given for you and I for our nourishment to help us grow. Now look at verse 16. Are you there in Exodus 16? Look at verse number 16. And this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it, every man, according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man of them that which is in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. You got to understand this. The manna came from heaven, like this Word of God came to us from heaven. But God expected the children of Israel to go out every day and find the manna that they needed for that day. He said, get enough to feed you for that day. And you got to understand, the Word of God is the same way. You need to go out every day. Every day God has something He wants to say to you. Every day God has something He wants to communicate to you. Every day God has something He wants to teach you. And too many Christians, you know, you'll come to church and you'll hear the Bible preached and you'll think, oh, I'm good. I got enough Bible on Sunday. And, you know, I don't have to read the Bible on Monday. And I don't have to read the Bible on Tuesday. And I'll come to church on Wednesday and get the Bible again and then I won't read it. But you understand, God has something to you for you from the Word of God on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Monday and on Tuesday and on Sunday. And on Wednesday, God expects us to go out like the children of Israel did every day and find the bread for that day. God has something for you every day. Look at verse 19. Exodus 16, 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man, according to his eating, and whence the sun waxed hot, it melted. Here's what he was trying to teach him. He said, look, I expect you to go out every day, and don't try to save some of it for the next day. Every day you got to go out and get new bread. So there are some of you sitting here tonight that have not read the Bible since we did 9 chapters a day in January. And you think, well, I read 9 chapters a day. I read the whole New Testament in the month of January. I mean, I should be good for a few months, right? Nope. It's bread, worms, it's stank. You got to go out every day and find the bread. You got to get out there every day and read the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. God expects you to eat physically every day, and God expects you to eat spiritually every day. You are to go out every day and find the meal that God has for you from the Word of God. Every day. You should read the Bible every day. Are you there in Deuteronomy 17? Now, while you're in Deuteronomy 17, let me just quickly go to Revelation chapter 1. You don't have to go there, but let me just read something for you so you can understand the context of this scripture, okay? In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and and washed us from our sins in His own blood, verse 6, Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Alright, so in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 6, the Bible tells us that God hath made us kings and priests. Okay, is that clear? Now the reason I'm going to tell you that is because in Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 18, the Bible says, and it shall be when He sitteth upon the throne of His kingdom. It's talking about the kings of Israel. And sometimes I'll show this to people and they'll say, well, that scripture is referring to kings and I'm not a king. But the Bible says that God has made us kings and priests. So according to God, you're a king. So does this apply to you? Let me just, it all applies to you. The whole Bible applies to you. Okay? And in verse 18 there it says, and it shall be, when He sitteth upon the throne of His kingdom, then He shall write Him a copy of this law in the book of that which is before the priests, the Levites, verse 19, and it shall be with Him, and He shall read therein, notice this, all the days of His life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, and these statutes to do them. See, God said, I expect the kings to have the Bible with them, to read it every day, to learn it, and to keep my words. And by the way, He hath made us kings and priests. I'm trying to explain to you, you say, what's the practice of Bible reading? Here's the practice of Bible reading. You ought to read the Bible every day. You ought to develop a habit of Bible reading. If you need to get a chart, get a chart. That's the best way to do it, I think. But let me just give you some practical things, okay? Because people get this idea, well, I'll read the Bible when I get a chance to. And you're never going to get a chance to, okay? You need to just make some decisions. In order to be consistent, and by the way, this is for Bible reading, this is for prayer, this is for church attendance, this is for diets. I mean, this is for anything you want to do, okay? You've got to just make a decision. Maybe not for diets. I guess that doesn't apply. But, you know, you've got to make a decision. You're going to do it, okay? But when it comes to reading your Bible, prayer, you've got to choose a time. And you've got to choose a place. And you've got to allow nothing to come in between. You just need to decide a time of the day. At this time of the day, I read my Bible. I go into this room. I pick up this Bible. And I read for this long. You just got to make that decision. Because if you think you're going to read the Bible just, you know, just for every once in a while, I'm going to pick it up, you're never going to read it. You'll read, you know, a few things in Psalms. You'll read a few things in Proverbs. You'll read a little bit out of Matthew. But you're never going to get through the Word of God cover to cover. The only way you're going to do any form of consistent Bible reading is if you say every day at 6 a.m. or every day on my lunch break or every day before I go to bed, whatever, you choose the time, you choose the place, and you say every day I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read X amount of chapters. 3 chapters a day, 4 chapters a day, 9 chapters a day. That's the only way to read the Bible. And by the way, that's the only way to pray. You've got to choose a time, you've got to choose a place, you've got to choose a time slot and say, every day at this time, I will pray for this one. And by the way, that's the only way to be consistent with soul winning. You think you're going to be consistent? Well, I'll just try to make it whenever I can. You're never going to make it. You'll hit and miss. You'll be good for a couple weeks, then we won't see you in 3 months. But the people that say, every Saturday, every Sunday, every Tuesday, at this time, I'm not going to let anything get in my way. I'm going to go soul winning. That's the key to consistency. Choose a time. Choose a place. You know, if you struggle with developing the habit of Bible reading, you say, man, sometimes I forget. You know, I always advise people to do this. If you're just new at it and you're struggling and you think like, man, I read the Bible and then I forgot. You know, I would advise people like, read the Bible every day and just make a rule for yourself. Okay? And you may have to like put a sign on your refrigerator or something. But make a rule for yourself that you will not eat physically until you've ate spiritually. I promise you, if you put a sign on your refrigerator that says, do not open till Bible reading is done. Okay, so, well, some of you may start, but the rest of you are going to remember. Because you're going to get hungry, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I guess I better go read the Bible. Okay, I think that's a good way to do it. Well, however you decide to do it, I'm just telling you this. You've got to pick a time, you've got to pick a place, and you just got to sit down and read the Word of God. And you say, well, sometimes it's exciting, and sometimes it's not that exciting. You just read it, you be consistent with it, you'll learn the Bible, you'll learn the Word of God, and you'll be able to teach others also. So number one, there is a purpose for Bible reading. Knowledge, so you're not deceived. So you can teach others also. Number two, there is a practice for Bible reading. You ought to read it every day. Feed yourself. Number three, there is a personal Bible reading will produce something in your life. Now you gotta understand this, and we kind of already touched on it, so we'll go quickly. But go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we're almost done. 1 Peter, I got 3 points, and I'm on the third. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now you need to understand this. Every Christian begins their Christian life as a baby. Okay, we all do. When you first got saved, you were a spiritual baby. Now here's the difference between spirituality and, you know, a physical body. You do not mature as a Christian simply by allowing time to go by. Okay? You know, you mature, time goes by, your body grows, and you know, some bodies grow more than others, but that's fine too. And, you know, you become an adult, you know, just by allowing time to go by. But spirituality is not that way. You could be a spiritual baby your whole life. Okay? You only become spiritually mature as you begin to feast on God's Word. The more Bible you know, and the more you apply it in your life, you begin to grow spiritually. Remember in Ephesians 4:14, he says that we henceforth be no more children. He said, I want you to grow up. Alright? Go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews, you're there in 1 Peter, right? Just turn a few pages to the left and you'll have the book of James, and then you'll have the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews 5:12 says this. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Now notice, he's talking to believers here. He says, look, for the time that you've been saved, you ought to be teaching others. You ought to be soul winning by now. You ought to be getting people saved by now. You ought to be discipling new covenant. You've been saved so long. This is what you say, Pastor, I don't think you shouldn't say that to me. That's what, you know, the writer of Hebrews is saying to the people he's writing to. If it applies to you, then good. For when the time that ye ought to be teachers, notice what he says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, look, it's time that you should be teaching others. It's time that you should be getting people saved. It's time that you should be discipling others. It's time that you should be teaching others also. But you have not grown, and you need me to go back and just start over. Just like from the beginning. And are become such as have need of milk. And not of strong meat. Now notice verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word. Now you gotta understand this. A baby is born, okay? You don't give a baby a Big Mac, alright? A baby cannot, you know, chew food or chew meat, you know. What do you give a baby? Milk. Because that's all they can handle. As they get older, they develop teeth, you know, then you start giving them, you know, you start off with like mashed peas or something, and then you give them like a banana, and then eventually they're eating, you know, a steak or they're eating food. As you get older, you're able to mature in your growth. The Christian life is the same way. You're not going to understand everything at first. You're going to begin just with the milk. Now here's the beautiful thing about the Bible, is that I can pick up the Bible and read it, and I will get what I need for that day. Remember, it was the manna for that day. And God will make sure that I need that I get what I need for that day. And as I grow, God Himself and the Holy Spirit will begin with the milk and wean, you know, and take me up to the meat and the solids that are gonna make me stronger. And even in church, as we preach the Bible, you know, oftentimes people say, you guys have this family integrated church and you bring your kids into the service, and don't you think that a lot of the preaching is going over the kids' heads? And this is, you know, I think to myself, a lot of the preaching is going over the adult head. I mean, God will allow you to grasp what you can grasp. Do you understand that?
Amen.
A brand new Christian that walks through the door needs to be in church. And Pastor Jimenez may get up and start preaching and screaming and sailing and doing whatever. But the Holy Spirit is going to give them what they need for that moment.
Amen.
And as you mature, the Holy Spirit, and it's the same with the Bible. As you read the Bible, I mean, aren't there those of you that read the Bible more than once, aren't there times that you go back and you're like, man, I read this before and I didn't get that out of it? See, because the first time you got the milk, and our God says, well, let me give you some mashed peas now. Let me get ready for some mashed peas. And eventually you're reading it and reading it and reading it, and you're like, wow, this is pretty good. I can't believe I missed that last time. See, God will give you what you need. He starts you with milk. He'll give you the food. But the point is to be growing. Look at verse 13. For everyone that uses milk, look, if you're still a baby spiritually, here's the reason. Here's what God says. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. You have not used the Bible. You have not read the Bible. You are unskillful, and that makes you a baby in the word of righteousness. Notice the last part of verse 13. For he is a babe. Are you a spiritual baby? Now look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. How do you say, how do I get there? Look what he says. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible says as you use the Word of God, every day you pick it up. Every day you consistently read it. Every day you begin to learn it. Every day, he says, as you use, by reason of that use, you begin to start maturing, and you begin to start growing, and you begin to start, you know, developing as a Christian. And then you're able, and then you're just like, wow, you know, I learned this, and I learned that, and I can put those things together. And you can understand this. The spiritual life, the spiritual maturity is not measured by age. We've had a whole lot of people come here and they'll say, oh, I like the sermon, I like the video. I mean, we've had people leave this church because they'll say, I don't want to be under a young pastor. You're too young. And I'll say, nuts to you. We don't need you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm getting older every day.
But here's the thing. Spiritual maturity is not measured. I mean, Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He said, be thou an example of a believer. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that the pastor is not to be a novice. Okay? Here's what novice means. A newbie. A new Christian. A pastor should know the Word of God. But age doesn't matter. Look, I know a whole lot of pastors that are really old and are really lame. And don't preach the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. You know, you say, you know, is it old? Here's all that matters. Do they know the Bible? Have they read the Word? Have they memorized it? Are they skillful with it? No one's perfect. Nobody knows everything. But the point is, the goal is for you to grow, for me to grow, as we read the Bible, as we study Scripture. I mean, hopefully you're coming to Verity Baptist Church and you're learning something every time you're here. And if you're not, then maybe you need to go find some old lame guy. I don't know. You say, is it about, you know, being young? It's about this. Are you spiritually mature? Are you growing? Are you learning? How do you do it? Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you know, and you need to understand this, and we need to get this idea in our head. Youth has nothing to do with it. Age has nothing to do with it. I often tell people, my kids, when they're 22 and 24 and 25 and 28 years old, you know, after growing up in a home where mom reads the Bible to them every day and teaches them the Word of God, where dad reads the Bible to them every night and teaches them the Word of God, where they go to this type of church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you really think they're not going to know the Bible and you should discredit them because they're 18 years old? I mean, do you understand that? You know, people say, well, are you really qualified to, you know, you're only 28 years old. Are you really qualified to teach on marriage? Well, I've been married for 10 years. I mean, am I qualified if I'm 50 years old but I'm on my third marriage? Is that what you think qualifies somebody? I mean, if you've been married and you're following the Word of God and you're learning the Word of God, here's what I'm going to explain to you. Maturity, spiritual maturity, comes from reading the Bible. Understanding God's Word. Getting in the Bible. Being skillful. The reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
He says, look, you say, why would I want to read the Bible every day?
So you would become a spiritually mature individual. So you would grow up in the Lord. So you would learn the Bible. And look, we're all learning every day. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're done right here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4. Say, Pastor Jimenez, what's the goal? Why read the Bible every day? Why set a time? Why set, you know, a location? Why do that? Why learn so I can teach others? Why do all that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says this. This is the last reference we'll look at. 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come,
give attendance. Now, you know that word attendance? The word attendance means give attention to or pay attention to. Give priority to. He says, give attendance, notice what he says, to Facebook. Is that what it says? To Xbox. Is that what it says? To your little whatever you like to do. So I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You know what my desire is for Verity Baptist Church? He says, your desire that this church grows? Look, I've been saying this a lot lately to a lot of different people, and I'll keep saying it. The Bible says that God brings members into the body as they have place here. It's not my job to bring members into here. It's not my job to try to build this place. God will build it as He sees fit. But I'll tell you, my desire for this church is that we would be a people of the book. That we would have a revolution back to the Word of God. That we would not just be people that gather here and listen to music and check off on some, you know, mental checklist that we went to church or we think we're religious because we dress the right way and we look the right way and we dress the part and do the part. And I'm all for dressing right. Don't misunderstand me. But my goal is that we would be people that would know the Bible. Not that you would go home and you would say, you know, people would ask you, well, why are you doing it? Well, because my church says that that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what false religion does. Because what my pastor said that that's what we're supposed to do, that's what false religion does. My goal would be that you and I, every day on our own, would get along with God and read the Bible and begin to be nourished and strengthened and begin to mature, and that we would walk with God and love God. Not because we went to church, or not because we're part of some movement, but because we know what the Bible says. That's the goal. To give attendance to reading. To mature spiritually. I mean, could you imagine what could happen in a church if everybody, just every day, consistently, read the Bible. Can you imagine what we could accomplish in our marriages, raising our children, out soul winning, what we could do if we just went back to the Word of God? Most Christians don't. The average Christian has never read the Bible cover to cover. And if that's you, I'm not picking on you, I'm just saying, fix it. If you, the average Christian does not have a habit of reading the Bible, and if that's you, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, fix it. I'm saying it's time to grow up. Read the Bible. Because here's the problem when you don't know the Word. You'll make errors because you know not the Word, and you will not have access to the power of God. The power of God is in His Word. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for our church. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord. I pray that there'd be somebody today that would just resolve and say, you know what? I'm going to quit playing with this thing, Christianity. I'm going to get in that Bible. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to understand it. I'm going to memorize it. I know that we're not all going to know everything, and we're going to spend eternity probably studying God's Word. It's so deep. It's so rich. But Father, I pray that You would help us to just get determined to say, I am going to study God's Word. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to allow it to change my life. I'm going to apply it in my life. Lord, I pray that we would, that someone here tonight would just make a decision. I'm going to read the Bible every day. At this time, in this place, for this amount of time, for these amount of chapters, I'm going to read the Bible. Would to God that somebody would decide right now, who's never read the Bible, that they would just determine, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. Someone would just decide, I'm going to read the Bible 2 times this year, or 3 times. I'm going to memorize the book of the Bible. Lord, I pray that You would instill in us to be people of the book. A revolution back to the Word of God. Not so that we can be filled with pride, but so that we can apply it in our lives and then teach others also. That's the goal, is to reach others. That's why we learn, so we can reach others. We love You, Lord. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Your precious amount. Amen.